Well, it was a few weeks ago. We heard from Biden and Harris as to why they are the best choice for president and vice president of the United States. And the following week, we heard from Trump and Pence as to why they are the best choice for president and vice president of the United States. Each side trying to make a case as to who's more qualified and why. You know, in a sense, it's like who's best to now continue on, to take over, step in, and take over. Well, that's kind of what's happening in the gospel lesson for today. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You could almost phrase their statement, "Well, who's the top disciple?" Because here's the thing, Jesus is going to die. And who's going to take over when he's gone? You know, who carries among us, who carries the most authority, or who's got the most executive experience? Who's spoken to and prayed for the most people? Who's demonstrated the most faith? So the thought brought before Jesus is all about status, all about authority. You know, who's the best person to take over among us when Jesus is gone? It's like, look at all that I've sacrificed and been through. Look at my experience record. Look at my background. See, from the world's perspective and the way we normally do life, this is how one measures up. We do. We look at accomplishments. We say, well, let's look at your resume. You know, let's take a look at your education. Let's look at your experience or your skills. And for the disciples, they've sacrificed significantly over the past 2 or 3 years. The disciples have an idea of greatness in mind. It comes from, again, human endeavor or accomplishments. And again, those things play a place and have a place in the world, in the way we do life. It's how things get done. It's how things get invented. It's how things get moved forward and accomplished because of what people bring to it. But Jesus wants to revise their understanding of the way God thinks about greatness. So, to let them know his perspective, Jesus utilizes a visual aid. And probably in the crowd, there's a young child. And so he tells the young child, he tells him, stand here. And he gets in front of all the people and says, all right, unless you change and become like little children, it's not going to happen. Now, in this particular situation, in this context, Jesus is not really talking about a child's innocence or vulnerability or simple faith, even though all of those are qualities of faith and trust that he's looking for. But he's going a little different direction with his statement here. You see, in the ancient world, children were valued primarily for the benefits they brought to the family. Enhancing the workforce, added protection, guaranteeing another generation. But children, young children in particular, had no rights. And their significance came from what they could in the future contribute to the family. Children were powerless in society. Socially and physically, they needed the help and resources of a parent. A child could rarely do anything for him or herself and would be orphaned if left alone. So Jesus uses this idea to contrast the world's form of greatness to God's form of greatness. It's almost like him saying, you know, let me define the attitude for being a disciple in the kingdom of God. It's being a child, completely dependent on parents and family, because in a sense, you're hopeless without them. And what you really truly need is outside of yourself. So it's a pronouncement of grace on those who are seemingly unworthy of the kingdom, and a pronouncement of condemnation on those who think themselves to be worthy but are not. So what's the point? Greatness in the kingdom of God is not achieved through personal accomplishments, but through receiving God's grace. It's what we become, what is put on us, what comes from outside of us, that comes to us as a gift. That's what God is looking for here, a willingness to receive and accept that. The world around us gets caught up in accomplishments, especially if it involves sacrifice. But in the kingdom of God, we are graced to greatness. Grace makes great. So why such a big deal? What's so important of this about this concept that Jesus wants us to get a hold of here? You know, where is he going with this idea? And it really has to do with because of what Jesus wants his people to be and to become, and that's community. He wants his people, his followers, to be one body, united around one purpose. But sin disrupts community because individual humans prioritize their own good over that of other people. What's in it for me? How can I strategically put myself or place myself in a situation to make myself better than? But in what Jesus is working with here, he wants something different than that in his kingdom. So the desire to maximize one's life and accomplishments is in itself is not a bad thing when you look at the way maybe we operate here in this world. But for Jesus and his kingdom, it needs to be different than that for it to operate according to his purpose and plan. What's Jesus teaching? We are each the greatest because of the unqualified grace we've received. Again, looking at this idea of community in the mind of Jesus, it's created because of our equality. And what that means is that we are all a part of the same family of God. We are all brothers and sisters, in a sense, of Jesus, and we share the same Father. And because of our unique relationship with Jesus, it allows us to serve one another for their ultimate good, for the good of the kingdom. So we need the right thinking on this. See ourselves on the social scale as that of a child. It's the attitude we need. And again, why? So that we can all be united around a purpose. We grow together. We reach out together. We do this together. We are all in this together. It's not that we come at it from all different perspectives with different agendas. See, Jesus says this, they will know that you are mine or that you are Christians if you love one another. In the New Testament lesson for today, in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, this is what Paul is alluding to. He says, love is the only continuing debt we are to have. There are always going to be people who need love. There will always be opportunities to express and show love. And as followers of Christ, we have been challenged by Jesus to love all people, not just those who love us. So how do we keep it going? How do we keep it alive? Again, it all goes into a certain purpose and plan Jesus has. See, where does all this come from? Because we know how imperfect we are, especially when it comes to loving other people. So, a great example. When our son Daniel was 2, and it was my turn to put him to bed at night, we always prayed together. And after I finished, almost always without exception, he always said, more Jesus, more dear Jesus, more Jesus. Now, personally, I think he did it just to stall. He didn't want to go to bed, and he knew as long as I was in there, and he kept saying that, you know, I'd stay in there and do that. But, in the words of a 2-year-old, I think that's it. More Jesus. Because it's exposure to the love of God in Christ. It's exposure to the gospel through the worship and study and reading of the Word. It's exposure to the taking of the Lord's Supper. It's exposure to the message that came from the cross where Jesus said, I love you. All of that exposure has a way of changing our mind, changing and transforming our thinking into what Jesus' purpose and plan for all of us are. He shows me and us how to love and gives us the ability to do what we could never do on our own. And it's all because he wants to use us. As I said, as the story begins, they said, well, who's greatest in the kingdom? What's this? And he says, all right, I've got a visual aid for you. And look at the kid. Look at the child. Well, he also has another visual aid. See, God desires that his church, his people, be a visual aid as to what his family looks like. And it's very diverse. There's men and women and children. They span all socioeconomic levels. They speak all different kinds of languages. They're from nations all over the world. And you know what? They're all united as one. It's like they're all one family, even though you see all the diversity. And this is truly what we need to see today. If there isn't a greater message for the world to see, it's that. Because in that diversity of men and women and children from all different nations and all different languages and all different skin colors, we see that we see God's grace and his love for all people. It's for all people to be welcomed into his family. We can be the visual aid that people need to see that exposes God's heart to the world. Because they can see it in this thing called the body of Christ. But you see, to make it a reality, you need grace. Because it's not about our accomplishments or everyone doing their own thing, but in one spirit we see we all come with the same need. We need a Savior because of our sin. And look at what Jesus did for us on the cross to bring all people into one people, to unite us all in his name. We need grace. We need to become like that child that's helpless and understand it's because of what comes from outside of me that I have what I need. And then as God works in his family and his thing, something can happen beautifully in the world. Again, it's what the world needs to hear and see. And then together, we can love and grow and serve and reach in his name to further his kingdom. Grace makes great. Because it puts us in a place to be truly alongside of all people, to be a demonstration to the world about what God's heart is like and what God's heart desires, to be a part of his family. He welcomes you today to be a part of his family, and it's just accepting that gift that he's given you in and through the work of his son Jesus Christ on the cross for your forgiveness and promise of eternal life. You can accept and receive that today and be a part of this special family and his special people. Good news for all of us. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.